I'd like to begin in the book of Ecclesiastes. The 12th chapter in the first verse says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." We've been sharing some last night, particularly about our dependence in God. And I feel like the Lord would have us to continue along the same vein this morning, that we need the Lord. The scripture here says that we are to remember the Lord, to keep Him in our minds, to keep Him ever before us in the time of our youth, in the time that our strength is the greatest, at the time when our minds are the sharpest. You know, it's whenever we feel the most capable that we feel the least need of God. But it's saying here, particularly to those in their youth, don't lose sight of your need of God because you're in your youth. That's particularly the time. Well, I want to ask us this morning, when do we need the Lord? Isn't it always? We always have need of the Lord. We're always dependent upon Him. But there are times that we realize and recognize it more than others. I would the Lord would help each one of us today to recognize how greatly we need the Lord. How much we need His help from day to day. There's one song that mine always goes to a sister in Holly Hill. It says, "I can't even walk without you holding my hand." You know, that's just how dependent we are upon the Lord. We're not able to walk or find our way through this life without the Lord helping us and walking by us. I was encouraged this morning by the testimonies of what the Lord has done, by answers to prayer. And I want to encourage us this morning that our God still lives. Our God is still on His throne. He's not diminished any in His power and in His authority or in His interest to show Himself real on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. The Lord still wants to be near unto His people. And I want to encourage us to find the Lord real in our lives. The scripture in one place says, "Be still and know that I am God." The Lord wants us to be still and to let Him be God. To be still and give Him the opportunity to show Himself real in our behalf. Whenever the enemy would present the idea to our minds that I've got the answer, I've got the solution, I know where to go, I know how to take care of this, I want to encourage us this morning, be still. And wait on the Lord and seek His face, because the Lord wants to show Himself strong in our behalf unto a people who are willing to wait upon Him and to seek Him. My mind goes this morning to the story of Elijah, a man that was used mightily of the Lord. We see in the second chapter of 2 Kings the time when Elijah was passing off the scene, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. Well, Elisha had an idea that Elijah's time was drawing to a close, and he was determined that, "I'm not going to leave you. I want to be with you." And he had a desire that he expressed unto Elijah. Whenever Elijah realized he wasn't going to back down, he said, "What is it that you want?" He said, "I want a double portion of what you have. I want to have a hold of what you have. I want to be able to have it in an even greater measure." Folks, can we ask too much of the Lord? Do you know, to the contrary, we can limit the Lord by our lack of belief and faith in Him. We can limit the Lord's power by our inability to believe it, to receive it, or our unwillingness to wait upon Him for it. Well, Elisha here recognized the hand of God upon Elijah. He recognized, I believe, this was more than Elijah. And he knew that Elijah wouldn't forever stay here. So he wanted to be there. I want to be able to get a hold of what you have, Elijah. So Elijah told him, if you're with me whenever I'm taken, it shall be so unto thee. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. You know, we can look at the times past of God's dealings with his people. And I believe we should do that. I believe that we should read the books of old. I believe that we should listen to the testimonies of those that have gone before us, because it tells of a God that is real and alive. And I know what it's done for, I know how it's challenged me to hear the testimonies of what the Lord has done for those that have gone before me. But you know, it can almost seem detached. It can seem like it's something that's, well, that was written in a book, and it seems like that was something a long ways back, and it's almost hard for me to grasp hold of the idea that the promise is for me, that this is still for me today, and that I can put in for the same thing that they had. Folks, the Lord still wants to show himself real unto the church of God in 2021, and I believe he is. But my prayer has been, as the Lord's been challenging and digging about me, Lord, I want more. Lord, I don't want to be satisfied with what I have. I want more. Because I believe the Lord wants to show himself in a greater way in my life and among us. Well, we can look back at the years gone by and we can read the stories and we can say how nice. The scriptures talk about, though, saying what's the reason that the former days are better than these? That we not just look into the past, but that we do what Elisha did. Elisha rent his mantle. He grieved at the passing of his mentor, at the one that he had seen with such power with God. But he didn't stop. He didn't just go back to his home and say, well, those days are over now. It was nice while it lasted. I'm glad I got to see the hand of the Lord. But he had said, Lord, I want to see the same thing. And he took the mantle that fell from Elijah. And he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And Elisha proved in that moment the beginning of a story that he himself was writing of the Lord's dealings and workings with him. That it didn't die out with Elijah. It wasn't something that went into the past and it was just a distant memory. Folks, the Lord wants to show himself just as real to us today as he did to our forefathers. Lord, help us to ask for it, to seek for it, to say, Lord, I want your power in my life. I want to see you hear and answer prayer. I want to see you work in my situations of life. Lord, I know you did it for others, and I want to see you do it for us. So I want to encourage us from the young to the old, but starting with the young, prove God. Let him show himself to you. Get your own testimonies of what the Lord's done for you. I can remember as a child being in many children's meetings. And I remember Sister Marcia sharing some of the stories of what the Lord had done for her. And I remember one in particular of warts that she had as a child. Well, I make myself a bit vulnerable, a little embarrassing maybe, but I remember a time as a teenager, 17 maybe, that I had a wart that began growing on right on my hand. Everybody could see it, and I was embarrassed by it. I wanted to hide my hand all the time. Well, I had heard about some acid that you can put on your hand, and it would melt it off. And I said, I want that gone so badly, I'm going to use it. And so I put some on there, and sure enough, the next day it had eaten it away. And within a week or two, it came back. And meanwhile, the Lord started talking to me. I said, Clint, will you trust me with that? You know the thoughts that come up in your mind? Well, Lord, it's always going to be that. I don't know if I can bear that. Folks, it can seem embarrassing to, well, that's such a small thing. But I want us to realize God wants to start with the small things. He wants to show Himself to us from the time that we're young. If we'll put our trust in the Lord and we'll depend on Him and realize, Lord, You are my help. Lord, You're the one that I'm looking unto. The Lord still wants to reveal Himself to us. And when the Lord brought me to that place to say, Lord, I will trust You with this. No matter what You do with it, Lord, I'll trust You. And I went to an altar and I was anointed and prayed for. Folks, the Lord healed it. And it never came back. The Lord showed Himself to me as a young man that I am able to answer prayer. I am able to meet You when You wait upon me and trust in me. And so I want to encourage all of us here today. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's look unto the Lord. Let's put our dependence in Him. There are times and seasons of life that we recognize how helpless we are. Mentioned a little bit last night about even on a national level. Our nation realized shortly after 9/11 how helpless we really were. At times of disaster like a tornado, a people will realize how small they really are and how helpless and needy they are. But it's so easy whenever things get to going well that people forget God, that people forget about their dependence upon God. It's not that we are any less dependent at any time of our lives. Folks, we depend on the Lord to draw our next breath. I won't be able to finish this morning except for the Lord's help. We won't be able to leave here except the Lord give us the breath and strength. But it's so easy for us to forget that, to lose sight of that. Well, the Lord has ways of bringing us to a place to recognize our dependence. The Lord wanted to work even through the atrocities of our nation, such as 9/11, to bring a people to a place to realize we've strayed from God. We need to turn back to our God. And the song says, let us go back to our Father's praying ground. We need to go back and see God again. We can have times perhaps where we're in a car wreck, where we become terminally ill. Whatever the condition is, people will come to a place where the doctors say there's nothing more we can do for you. And then they realize, I need God. And then they'll say, pray for me. Folks, I want to encourage us today. God doesn't want to be a last resort. He doesn't want to be an afterthought in our lives whenever we've exhausted all of our abilities and all of our strength and everything that I know to do in myself. The Lord wants to be first in our lives. He wants to be the one that I look unto, that I lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. So we can get into a place that we realize, Lord, I can't do anything here. I need You here. And that's good to seek the Lord in a time like that. Lord, would You move on this scene? But I believe there's a deeper place for us than that. And I believe it is us willingly offering ourselves to the Lord and putting ourselves in a place of dependence before the Lord. That I not wait until I'm old. As the scripture says here, when the evil days come that you don't have any pleasure in them anymore. And then you realize I don't have the strength. I need God here. But that I choose in my youth, in my strength, when things are going well, Lord, I need You. Lord, I choose to put myself in a place of dependence and trust in You. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Second Corinthians 3 and verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our ability, any ability that we may have is of God. We need the Lord. We need the Lord today in this season of life, whatever that season is for you. We need the Lord. Whenever we think we have the answers, we need the Lord. We can fall in, if we're not careful, fall into a place that I realize I need the Lord in the big stuff. I realize there's nothing I can do about the things out of my control. But I don't believe the Lord wants us to wait until those times to look unto Him. There's a song, What a Friend, we sing. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The Lord wants to show Himself to us that He is our sufficiency, that He is the one that makes us able, that He is the one that gives us what we need, that I look unto the Lord, not as last resort or an afterthought, but that I seek first the Lord. Think of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and all the heroes of faith that we read about. There are people there that I say, Lord, I could never aspire to be in their company. And yet, the Lord calls every one of us to be part of this cloud of witnesses. There's a scripture towards the latter part of that chapter that says, out of weakness, they were made strong. You know, it wasn't that they were great men and women of God because they were born great. Because they were born just destined to greatness. It was because in their weakness, they looked unto the Lord. It was because out of their place of weakness, they cried unto the Lord. And the Lord, out of that weakness, made them strong. You remember the story of Gideon? How the Lord wanted to give deliverance to His people through the hand of Gideon. Gideon started out with 32,000 men, and the Lord said, you've got too many. Well, it wasn't too many whenever you compare it to the one that was coming against him. The Lord gives us the ability to reason. The Lord gives us a mind and rationale, not for us to just never use it, put it on a shelf and hide it away. The Lord wants us to use the faculties that He's given to us. But it's got to be sanctified and given to Him. Gideon was able to look and count and get an approximation and say, there's no way. There's no way that, but the Lord said, you've got too many. And so he diminished it down, I believe, to where it was 10,000 or something like that. And the Lord said again, you have too many. And the Lord brought it down until there were 300 men by whose hand the Lord gave a mighty deliverance into. Folks, the Lord specializes in the impossible. And the Lord wants to get His people into a place that they recognize and acknowledge that this is not of my hand. That I'm not able to do this, Lord. I'm not able to figure this out. Lord, I'm not able to make my plans for my life and it turn out well. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm not able to bring my own deliverance here. Lord, I need you. Have mercy upon me. And the Lord is able, out of weakness, to make us strong and to give the greatest deliverances when we'll put our trust and dependence in Him. Jonathan and his armor bearer, remember that? He went up against a garrison of the Philistines. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, let us go up, for it's nothing with God, whether by few or by many. And the two of them went up, and the Lord gave deliverance into their hands. Folks, God has not changed. He's no different today. We're facing the same enemy, but in different tactics and different techniques today. Talked about a little bit last night of the Tower of Babel and how there is a modern day Tower of Babel that mankind has exalted in the place of God to elevate their technology and their wisdom and their understanding and their science, falsely so called, to show that there is no need for God. Folks, in the face of all of that, in the face of a hostile and skeptical and unbelieving world, we need something. We need to have something to anchor our souls. We need something that will keep us in the midst of that. The Lord wants still today to show Himself strong. He wants to be our sufficiency. 20th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 20 in the 7th verse says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Today, what are we depending on? What are we relying on? Those to whom the Lord gives skills, talents. You know, the Lord's given to every one of us talents and abilities that are unique to us. And you know, He doesn't want us to put our trust in that. There are some people who are very charismatic, who are very outgoing, who just don't hardly know a stranger. And you know, if they're not careful, they can depend on that ability in and of themselves. That I can talk my way out of situations. I can make friends. Folks, the Lord gives us the things that He gives us to be a blessing and a help, not only to us, but those around us. But it will not be if we go about it in our own strength. If we lean upon our characteristics or our nature or something about ourselves, our sense of humor or whatever it is, it will not be enough. The Lord is our sufficiency. The Lord is the one that I've got to depend upon. Well, some people put their dependence in so many different things of their own doing, of their own making. Some trust in horses and chariots, and it's understandable why they would. It's for those purposes. But whenever it comes to our spiritual warfare, folks, we can't trust in our own devices or in our own wisdom. We need the Lord. There will be times in our lives that we look at situations and say, this makes no sense, and the Lord says, do it. We'll say, this makes no sense to go this way, and the world echoes 1,000 times, that makes no sense. Why would you go that way? And the Lord says, I want you to walk this way. Folks, there are times that our intellect will not be able to wrap itself around it. Our wisdom and our understanding will not be enough to encompass it all, and I'm going to have to say, Lord, I trust in You. I'm going to have to say, Lord, I may not understand it. I may not see it all, but Lord, I'm depending on You. I'm trusting in You. I want to see You work in my life. So what is it that we're putting our dependence in today? Scripture says here, we'll remember the Lord our God. Lord, help us to remember Him. Scripture says in the 33rd chapter of Psalms that a horse is a vain thing for safety. The Lord has such a better protection. The Lord has a way of working for His people in a way that the world may not even recognize it. Those that don't want to see it won't even see it. But to those that put their dependence and trust in the Lord, folks, we'll see the Lord work for us in 1,000 different ways in our lives. The Lord will prove Himself to us over and over and over again. And we'll recognize the Lord is able, and it starts again with the small things. It starts with those little things that I say, you know what, I think I can handle this one. But Lord, I'm going to stop. Lord, I need You. Lord, would You give me wisdom? Would You give me direction here? I'm going to wait for Your answer here. Lord, would You heal me? Lord, would You bring about deliverance here? And the Lord has a way of working not only in the situation. What does the Scripture say about He is able? You ever have the Lord do this for you? Exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Folks, we limit God sometimes and say, Lord, this is how I need You to do it. And Lord, I don't know how You're going to, but here's Your options, Lord. As if the Lord needs me to give Him options. No, He's God. He reigns over all. The Lord only needs me to say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I don't know the answers. I don't know the way through. Lord, I need You. And the Lord is able to bring us through in a way that I can look back and see that was God. The Lord did that. And just as people's testimonies have been an encouragement to me, the Lord wants to give us our own testimonies. That can be an encouragement to other people to realize that we magnify God through our lives. It's not that we exaggerate who God is, for that is impossible. But it is that in people's understandings, in people's mind, who have looked to their own selves and looked to science and looked to technology and looked to mankind in so many different ways, that God would be magnified in their minds to realize He's bigger than what I thought He was. I didn't know that He still answered prayer. You know how many people believe today that the day of miracles are over? Folks, they're not. The Lord wants to show Himself to us if we'll wait upon Him and trust in Him. We can substitute what the Lord wants to do for us. As I mentioned yesterday, the enemy has substitutes and alternatives, and so they did with the tower, perhaps and very likely thinking that part of this was their deliverance in the event of another flood. That's no substitute. A horse is a vain thing, folks. A tower is a vain thing for safety. But they that call upon the name of the Lord will find a strong tower. And we can run into it and be safe. And the Lord wants to be that shelter and that refuge for every one of us. David, if you remember the account, David as king over Israel did what seemed prudent for a king to do. David, in reckoning up what their ability was, he said, let's take a census and let's find out what our numbers are. Well, even Jesus alluded to, if a man's going forth into battle, he's going to sit down first and count up the number of men that he has to see if he's able to win the victory, or otherwise he's not going to go up. Well, Jesus making a different point there, but I mentioned that to say that's the way our minds work. It seems prudent to us to do that kind of thing. But this isn't about the wisdom of the world. This isn't about prudence in our own mind. It's not about the way that seems best unto us. The Lord isn't bound by what seems best to us. His ways are above our ways, and His ways are past finding out. It is for us to recognize, Lord, You are the potter, and I am but the clay. Well, David here grieved the Lord. And the Lord punished David, and he recognized that he had sinned greatly against the Lord. Well, what was the sin? I don't believe a census in and of itself is sin. But David put his trust in the number of people they had instead of in the Lord. David, the same man who had gone up against Goliath all by himself with just a sling and a few stones. Later in life, whenever now he's in a different position, a different place, he's king over the nation of Israel now. It's as if he forgot and lost sight of who God was. And he began to depend and lean upon their numbers. That's a vain thing for safety. There's one who was their defender, who promised to fight their battles for them. David turned back to the Lord. Let's read what Scripture says also in Isaiah, the 31st chapter. It says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. And they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Lord, help us not to turn to the wrong places and depend on the wrong things and depend on ourselves and our ability to work out and figure out our situations. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not the leftovers. Not the afterthought. Not whenever I've exhausted everything I can do. We can get to feeling like sometimes, maybe I've said it, maybe you have as well, all we can do now is pray. That's all? Folks, let's not relegate prayer to something helpless that we pull out if everything else fails. Do we see God as mighty today? Do we see Him as being high and lifted up on His throne? Do we see Him as being a God who is bending down to listen to the prayer of His people? Folks, this starts with us learning to depend upon the Lord in our everyday lives. Learning to look unto the Lord. Learn and seeing the Lord's hand at work. Don't wait until the evil day comes. Don't wait until something comes that sweeps me off my feet. I've got to learn to depend on the Lord today. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. How easy it is to do when we feel like we have understanding. You know, there is a time, thinking back again to David, a time when he had a great faith in God, and that's all he depended on. He even told Saul, I don't need your armor. I haven't proved that. This is what I've proved. This is what I've used. And I have faith in God. But something happened later on. You know, Jesus used children as the example. To have faith as a little child. You know, sometimes the more we know, the more it can hinder us. Sometimes the older we get, and the more I've seen, and the more, I hope you understand what I'm saying, it can begin to hinder us. A child doesn't have the answers. A child, I remember when I was in driver's ed that I'd been driving at that point since I was, I don't know, 8 or something, around the farm, around the house. And I thought, I know how to drive. I'm only here in driver's ed because I need to check the box. And I went into it with that mindset that, okay, I could probably, well, I don't know that I went quite that far, but I could probably teach this class myself. And I remember a comment the teacher made, probably to me specifically. I need you to forget everything you think you know and let me teach you now. You know, the Lord has to do that with us sometimes. Whenever we think we've got the answers, and I think I've got it figured out, and I know how to work this one out, and the Lord's having to say, no, child, no, let me have it. Let me do it. I remember one time I was over at Aunt Irma's house, and one of my cousins was trying to fly a kite and had gotten the string so tangled up, and it was a gnarled mess. Brought it to Aunt Irma, can you fix this? And she's working with it, and so meticulously trying to pull the strings apart, and almost had it. I don't even remember which cousin it was, but when they jumped in and said, I see it, I can do it, and pull and snarled it right back up. Folks, how easy it is for us to do that with God. Hold on, Lord, I know what needs to happen here. Hey, Lord, I know what needs to take place. And the danger of our time, again, is that we live in an information age. We live in an age of science and technology where it is made and deemed more and more foolish to put our trust in God. Because we know better than that now. We don't have to resort to that anymore. We know better. Folks, that's not the case. And I would that God would help us in this age to let Him be God in the midst of it all. To let Him show Himself true in our behalf, though a world doesn't believe and a world is skeptical. Lord, help us to be as little children. Lord, help us to just, I don't know what to do, but I remember when I was young, my dad could do everything. And there was an age that I'm getting out of now, I suppose, and my children thought I could do quite a bit. Folks, do we come to our God with that kind of faith? Lord, I don't know what to do with this one, but I know You do. I know You have the answer. This thing of divine healing, I want to reiterate again. Folks, it's about more than gritting our teeth and saying, I believe, I know You're going to heal me. I know You're able to heal. It's about more than that. It's about having that calm assurance to know, Lord, You are God. You're in control. You hear my prayer, and it is the intersection of that with, Lord, I bring myself and I lay it at Your feet. Lord, You do with me what You see is best. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I would go astray. And another one of the verses says, heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. It is so natural for us, but it'll get us in trouble if we're not careful. The Lord doesn't need us to figure it out. The Lord doesn't need us to deliver ourselves. He's the one that wants to fight our battles for us. Amen. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'd like to turn now and remind us of Paul's testimony found in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Talking about his thorn in the flesh. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why did the Lord say that? Because medical technology had not advanced to the place that there was a cure. We don't know exactly what this thorn in the flesh was. But was that why the Lord said, Paul, you're just going to have to live with this?
because I can't do anything about it.
And Paul, nobody else, Paul, go see Luke, the physician, and see what he can do for you about this. Folks, it's not about the wisdom of the world. Yes. It's not about the convenience of what the world has to offer. Yes. It's not about how easy or convenient or... Folks, it's about putting our trust in our Creator, yes, in Almighty God. Lord, you know beyond my physical needs. Lord, I want... So song was sung today. Lord, I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. That's my aim. It's my goal. It's what I'm living for, Lord. And you alone know the best opportunities to put in my path for me to be able to make heaven. So the Lord said here, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And I say, Lord, help me. I can't say I'm always here, that I say, oh, praise the Lord, another trial. But the Lord wants to teach us to depend on Him and to realize the Lord's got something for me in this. And if I'll wait upon Him, He's not forgotten me. He's not forsaken me. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. The scripture says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Yes. Paul said that our wisdom, or that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. There's something that's stronger than that, that's more abiding than that, that the Lord wants to show Himself to be very real and true to every one of us. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke 21, beginning in the 25th verse. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. This chapter, best that I understand, weaves together prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem and of the end times when Christ returns. For he says, right after this, he says, then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. In the times leading up to that, there's going to be tumult, there's going to be confusion and consternation, people's hearts failing them for fear. Lord, help us to be strong in faith. Yes. The scripture says of Abraham, he staggered not. He didn't consider the things that he could see. He didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not in unbelief. Lord, help us. What do we do whenever we're confronted with things that would undermine our faith? Do we stagger? Folks, we can have some questions sometimes that the enemy tries to bring up in our minds. I remember fighting those battles in school and in college. I remember being bombarded with these ideas and these thoughts of, well, why do you believe what you believe? And, well, it's just because your parents. And this is the paradigm that you were brought up under. And let's discard that now. And let's think in a new way. And I remember that attack and that onslaught. Folks, we're going to need something. We're going to need something that goes beyond in a time like that. That goes beyond words that I've heard. I'm going to need to have a God that's revealed Himself unto me. Folks, if we're in a place that we're a little shaky, the Lord wants to shore us up. The Lord wants to reveal Himself to us. I want to encourage us, let's let God be God. Let's let Him show Himself on our behalf. Let's let Him give us the testimony. To give me the testimony. Folks, I don't know, but what I'm looking at somebody here, or multiple somebodies, who down the road will be writing the next book of healings and miracles and answers to prayer. I don't believe God's finished. I don't believe those days are over. But He wants a people, even in these last days, who fix their eyes on Him, who set their determination and their consecration Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust in you. Lord, I may not understand and see and know all the things, but Lord, I know in whom I have believed. There's some things I've got fixed, some things that I've got settled. Lord, help us to get some things fixed. Let they not be shuffling and shifting around. Oh, thank the Lord that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had it fixed. We don't wait until we're facing the fiery furnace to decide if we're going to have faith in God. It starts today. It starts in our youth whenever we feel like we have our strength. It starts when things are going well and I choose to give myself to the Lord and say, Lord, I choose to wait on you. Lord, I choose to depend in you. I choose to trust in you. Folks, it's a beautiful way. You want to see the Lord work in a greater way today? Wait on the Lord. Give him the opportunity to show himself. We can rush through life so fast and have all the answers at our fingertips that we never give God the opportunity. When I wonder sometimes if the Lord's not saying, I could have done that for you. And far beyond. Let's give the Lord the opportunity. I am challenged often with a scripture in Luke 18 where Jesus was talking about the widow that came before the unjust judge. How do we come before the Lord? Oh, I pray the Lord to challenge us this morning. How do we see God today? Do we come along and just timidly, Lord, I don't know if you can do this or not, but I know I'm supposed to ask you, so Lord, would you do this? Well, nothing's happened. Well, I guess that doesn't work anymore. I guess that's for a time in the past. Folks, the Lord wants a people who fix their eyes on the Lord and say, Lord, you are my help. You are the one that is my deliverance. Lord, I'm here and I'm knocking until I get help. Lord, I'm here and I'm waiting and I'm seeking. And Lord, teach me what you want to teach me. Lord, reveal if there's something in the way. Do you realize and understand the multiple opportunities that we pass up when we turn to our own devices and to the arm of flesh, where the Lord wants to teach us and show us things? There have been times in the past that people didn't know where their next meal was coming from because of the economic situations that they were under. They had to depend upon the Lord. They had to trust in God. Where those farmers, if it didn't stop raining, their fields would be flooded out, and they didn't have insurance. They didn't have Uncle Sam to bail them out. They had to depend upon the Lord. Lord, if you don't answer prayer, I'm in trouble. I'm done, Lord. You know, there's not much of that left. Because of a man-made environment around us that we can provide for ourselves in so many ways. But you know, this is still one way that the Lord has of touching us. And the Lord wants through it to teach us faith in God. The Lord, it's not that it's some kind of bondage. I can't do this. And what are the saints going to think if I do that? Folks, there's a better way. There's a better way than that. Where the Lord's saying, I'll be your God. I want to meet you in your times of trouble. I want to show you that I'm still God. I want to give you your own testimonies. Folks, when we meet the Lord, when he comes in, folks, you'll never forget it. When the Lord comes in and you've been waiting and you've been praying and crying and fasting and seeking God and wondering when it's going to end, and the Lord comes in and he floods you with his presence, sometimes you can almost forget about if the affliction's over or if the trial's over. Oh, Lord, the sweetness of your presence and the sweetness of his visitation. Folks, those are things that I don't want to see the enemy rob from the people of God, that I don't want to see the enemy cheapen our consecration because we have alternatives, because we feel like we don't need to turn to the Lord like they needed to in the past. Folks, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on him. Jesus said there, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? It's a question I can only answer for myself. And you know, I have to say, Lord, I am weak. That's why I'm trusting in you. Lord, I don't know exactly what this flesh will do. I don't know exactly what I'll do under this circumstance, in this situation, but I'm trusting in you to give me what I need when that time comes. Lord, the Lord wants us to approach it in a humility of spirit, to recognize it's what it's all about. Lord, I don't have the answers. I don't have the help. I am completely dependent upon you. And folks, the Lord is able to work with a meek and an humble spirit like that. The Lord is able to come in and show himself real. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know exactly what's coming on this earth, but this I know, we need God. This I know, we need a faith in God that anchors us and holds us whatever might come. And it starts today with us choosing and willing, Lord, I give myself to you to put my dependence in God alone. You pray for me. Amen.